trusting once again in the help of the Lord, we will turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 58th chapter and the 11th verse. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11. You will notice in this verse, friends, that there are three things and that the Lord shall be. We have read together, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. And the Lord shall satisfy thy soul in drought. And the Lord shall make fat thy bones. Now those three things and that the Lord hath left in his church for all generations and all people in a greater or lesser measure, they will have, of course, an effect. For we cannot wonder that the dear Lord in all his works, and there is always a wonderful effect. And the effect that those three things that I have read to you this evening, and they are spoken now concerning his church and his dear people, and those two things which will flow or which will be the result of the Lord's shall are these: and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I know not, of course, your circumstances, your concerns, your troubles, or whatever the dear Lord hath seen fit to bring you and I into. But we do know this, that the dear Lord hath left in his church some wonderful promises. I often think, of course, of those grapes of Eshcol, and where those spies were sent into the land of Canaan, and that branch of grapes that they brought from the land of Canaan to show the fertility of that land and the goodness of that land, and these grapes, as you know, they were born by two. The weight was so tremendous. Now, if the dear Lord hath done these things in that natural way, how much more, my dear friends? And will he not fulfil all that he has spoken? And we shall know perhaps just a little here and there that thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. But look, dear friend, first of all, what the Lord shall be unto his dear people. Now he says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Sometimes, my dear friends, not always, you and I can approve the ways of God. There are other times if we are truthful with ourselves, and we cannot approve those ways because they are irksome to the flesh. They may be contrary to our will, and we may see. I do not doubt for one moment that there are before me those, including myself, that when the dear Lord hath seen fit to lay something in our path, or to keep the text, to guide thee in a certain way, we have said words very similar to this: I could have well done without this or that or the other. You see, so very often our natural reason runs contrary and to the continual guiding of the Lord. And how we need, dear friends, that sweet grace of submission, because we know this, that the Lord, he shall guide thee continually. That is, he will be ever present with thee, and he will be. He will be round about you and constantly and continually, because he not only guides, but he shall be with thee continually. You see, just a little illustration that's come into my mind. We may be stopped in the street and we may be asked to direct a person to a certain place or a certain road, and of course if we know the place or the road or the place that they want to go, we would guide them in that way whereby they would at last come to that place where their intention to go, but we are not with them continually, dear friend, to see and to make certain they arrive at that place. But the dear Lord, my dear friends, he says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. And what a wonderful guide, dear friends. You see, and the dear Lord hath engaged himself and to become a guide of his dear people. We very often ask for this favour in singing that hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore." Now, of course, this brings us into our second thought concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord as a guide unto his dear people. Not only, dear friends, is he a guide, but in that way, and that the dear Lord guides his dear people. And let me just say this: we do not and cannot always approve of that way, but I believe, dear friend, that the dear Lord will eventually bring us whereby we surrender unto his wisdom, his grace and his mercy, knowing that what he does is for our best. But what I want to come to is this: not only this first bit of our text, and it says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." Also, in that path where the Lord guides his dear people continually, he will supply all of their provisions. He will supply all their needs. It doesn't mean to say immediately your need and my need will be supplied, but what I feel, my dear, because we have that wonderful example And that pattern, you know, the scriptures, more particularly perhaps the Old Testament scriptures, they are left in many respects for an example to New Testament believers. And when we read, my dear friends, of the Lord miraculously bringing forth his dear people out of the bondage of Egypt and guiding them continually for 40 years through that wilderness dispensation, there's something more than mere guiding that the dear Lord, I feel this. If we have, my dear friends, the grace and the understanding granted unto us, he gives us more than he speaks of, because the children of Israel, of course, you all know, they were guided by that pillar of fire and that cloud and constantly and continually throughout that wilderness dispensation, and also they were provided every day apart, of course, from the seventh day, and with that manna and water constantly, continually followed them in that wilderness dispensation. So we can safely say, it may be, dear friend, that there may be one in a very intricate, difficult path or way, and you wonder why the dear Lord hath allowed or permitted you to come into such extremities. Is it not, my dear friends, to prove the dear Lord, his love, his compassion, and his preservation, and his help? You see, you and I can only say, we can easily be quite familiar with the path that we are in, and we can so easily get negligent of those things. But the dear Lord, my dear friend, he will be a good guide, and he will bring all of his dear people to trust and rely upon him, and for all the provisions of that way that he continually guides his dear people in. Have you and I, there are those that undoubtedly with difficult things that in their life, and you see, if it was the Lord's will, he could have preserved you from going in that way, but in love to his dear people's souls, he puts them in that way whereby they have to be more and more dependent and rely upon him, not for some of the things, but for all the things. Now the Lord has said, he promised this, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. What a wonderful God. You see, we read, my dear friends, and that he shall gather his dear people and from the north and from the south and from the west, and then that Psalm, that 107th Psalm, goes on like this: he shall give them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Oh, dear friends, what an unspeakable mercy. If you and I have been wandering spiritually in that spiritual wilderness, and you have found no city to dwell in, And then we read together, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Not only that, and he led them forth and by the right way. Our dear friends, there are many ways. but there's only one right way. And I know, my dear friends, it is a concern. And because dear people so very often, and whether they are in that right way, dare you say, my dear friends, that in that way, if you look back over your past, it may be some of you younger ones can perhaps only go back to 1 or 2 years, or there may be those who can go back to more. Those who are older can go back many more years. And can we not say, my dear friend, in that way, although in that way there was much to concern us, it was sometimes a way of darkness, but the dear Lord upheld our faith in a faithful God. He came, my dear friends, in that way whereby his unerring light shone in our poor heart, and he supplied, my dear friends, all that our souls were in need of, a guide to guide us in the right way, because there was. In this way, there were those times when he blessed your soul, was it not so? And where he spoke those words of encouragement, where you saw the dear Lord's hand, which you would have never went in apart from the dear Lord guiding you. Continue. Often think, of course, of God's dear servant. Dear Job, and how the Lord so dealt with him. He was a very wealthy man here, and he got a large family. He got everything I think that the world could wish for. And there was that time when disaster struck at him and his family and the homes, and he was brought to this point, which undoubtedly there are those before me who know just a little, for he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Oh, dear friend, this is the faith and that you and I desire. You don't know the way. You don't know the cause. You don't know the end of it. But it's all in the hand of a covenant-keeping Lord who knows that way. And Job, in his great distress and in those circumstances where there were so many losses and crosses, and there were the boils on his own body, and so many things that the Lord saw fit to lay upon him. But he had that faith to honour the dear Lord. And was not that faith honoured, dear friends? You know, if we just consider those times where the dear Lord hath honoured your faith and my faith in the way that he hath led us. Think, my dear friend, of the many, many mercies that we have been the recipients of, and what faith has been enabled to see that this way was a right way, and that leads to a city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Well, dear old Job says, he knoweth the way that I take, and also he knew the end of it, or the conclusion of it. For he says this: he knoweth the way that I take. When ye have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a faith, dear friends! What a faith! Oh, may the dear Lord grant that same, or measure of that same faith, and that he granted unto his dear servant Job. And of course the psalmist in the I believe it's the 73rd psalm, we can trace a similar faith where the psalmist says this: thou shalt guide me. Look at the work of faith, my dear friends. In a poor sinner's heart, in the heart of the psalmist in that 73rd psalm, he says, thou shalt guide me, or may that faith be granted in measure unto us, each of it is thy, if it is his precious will. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Could we have, my dear friends, a better counsellor to guide you and I? A counsellor who is unerring, who is so wise and so good and so kind, and he knows all our faults, our failings, and yet he is still the guide of his dear people, and he shall guide them continually. Thou shalt guide me. May the dear Lord grant such a faith unto every tried, exercised soul before me this evening. Not only where Job says, he knoweth the way that I take, and I shall come forth as gold. But with the psalmist, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. You see, what a vast difference, my dear friend, in that trial, in that affliction, or whatever that dispensation is that the Lord seen fit to guide his dear people in. If our little faith is lifted up above all the circumstances, and we are enabled by precious faith to see this wondrous guide who guides his dear people continually, and he says this: thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward. You see, in this way that the dear Lord guides his dear people, there's a glorious afterward. And sometimes we may almost be oblivious to this. Well, I can only speak how I feel at times. Everything, my dear friend, may seem black and gloomy. You cannot see, as it were, almost a hand before you. And you feel that you have completely been mistaken. But, dear friends, look at what the psalmist says. Afterward. There's a glorious afterward, because he says, not only thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Look at the end, dear friends, of the Lord's continually guiding his dear people. One more point that I just very briefly, because it's a wonderful promise, and I do trust that it may be made just a little bit helpful and profitable to a poor exercised soul. Because so very often the adversary has got so much, dear friend, to cast us down, and he hurls these things at us. Do you think you're in the way? Do you think you're one of God's children? Would you ever be in such a state as this? The Lord will guide thee continually, and he will show, my dear friends, his almighty power to preserve you and to keep you and to bring you through. You know, I often think of those words that John heard on the Isle of Patmos when he asked, "Who are these?" "These are they that have been brought through great tribulation." They've been brought through it, my dear friends. And this path that the Lord continually guides his dear people, well, I don't want to speak disrespectful of those things that the dear Lord may have put in your path, because you know they are great concern and anxiety, and you're constantly at the throne of grace and to ask the dear Lord to help you. But dear friends, this is the great, great point is this. The Lord knows how to temper you and I, and to bring you in that way whereby we, as it was with the children of Israel, when the Lord had opened the Red Sea, and all the children of Israel had passed safely through. They saw their enemies dead on the seashore, and they sang this song. And part of that song was this: Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful confirmation. He doesn't lead those people that he hath not redeemed. And if you and I can trace some, in some measure, that the dear Lord hath led us to this. Hitherto hath the Lord led us, and it's a wonderful token because that song that they sung was that thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. And what more, my dear friends, could we desire than to know the mercy of the Lord and his strength guiding us into that holy habitation, even unto eternal bliss. Well, and the Lord, poor trembling exercised soul, the Lord shall guide thee, that shell which can never be broken, the Lord shall guide thee continually. And then he goes on to say, and satisfy thy soul in drought. What an unspeakable mercy, dear friend. He says, he shall satisfy thy soul. He doesn't say, you will have an abundance. I often think, dear friends, of a dear man of God, Elijah. You know, I'll be very brief because you all know where the Lord directed him to the brook Cherith. It was all right for a start. Then it dwindled away, did it not? Was the Lord unfaithful to what he had spoken? He's spoken this in the old church, and he fulfilled every detail in the new church, or the New Testament church. And that, although that brook dwindled away, I believe, to just a mere little trickle, but the Lord spake unto him. And when that brook and could not satisfy him, He was sent to that woman at Zarephath, and there was that handful of meal and that cruse of oil, and I believe it just made sufficient to satisfy the prophet Elijah and the widowed mother and the son. There was nothing that they could help anyone with. It was just sufficient, and we read that the Lord says he shall satisfy thy soul in drought. Now, Look at another point, my dear friend. Hungry and thirsty, blessed are they, because when there's a drought, especially more particularly perhaps in these eastern climes, and there was very often a drought, where, as of course it was so with the case of Jacob. But I could go into that, but I haven't the time. But you see, the dear Lord, he satisfies his dear people, and they are brought in this way where they are blessed. You very often, perhaps, and rightly so, and I hope I do, we ask for the blessing of the dear Lord. Now the blessing of the Lord is provided on certain people and certain circumstances. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the dear Lord very often brings his dear people hungering and thirsting after that righteousness. You've asked the Lord to bless your soul, rightly so. I hope he does it again. But dear friends, we may be brought into circumstances, and where shall I say the Lord fits us for that blessing, and that he has designed to bless his dear people with. And so they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. And but what our text says is this: they shall satisfy the soul in drought. And could there be, my dear friends, a greater satisfaction than to come into the wonderful possession of the righteousness of God? That righteousness which he hath wrought out while he was here in that perfect obedience unto the law, cleansing his precious blood and clothing that glorious robe of righteousness. There is complete satisfaction, my dear friend. Well, I mustn't delay for the next that the Lord shall do. He says, and the Lord shall make fat thy bones. Here, my dear friends, the dear Lord, I believe, is set forth an abundance. And you say, what do you mean by an abundance? I'll tell you, dear friends, very, very, very briefly. The abundance that the Lord has set in his church is the ministry of his word. And what a favored people they are who sit under. Perhaps we do not value it sufficiently. I do not know. I don't think I did when I sat under the ministry of a pastor, but I think I valued it perhaps more after the Lord sent me forth. But do you and I value the ministry of the word? Because the ministry of the word sets forth the gospel table. And that gospel table makes fat the bones in its abundance, my dear friend. Because you know, the psalmist says, and I believe it's in the 36th psalm, we shall be abundantly satisfied with the provision of thine house. And the provision of God's house will abundantly satisfy all of God's dear people. And although one feels this, and that in our sad and our solemn day, and there is a great neglect. You see, we rightly so, I'm not speaking against it. We all desire to keep our bodies in as a healthy condition as it is possible. I'm not speaking against that, my dear friends. But what I do want to say, dear friend, to myself and to you, each one of you, are you as interested in keeping a healthy body as a healthy soul, and that when the gospel table is spread, and you desire that this gospel table will make thy bones fat and flourish in thee, friend, and you will say with the psalmist that the abundant provision of thine house and satisfies my soul with those things that you desire to know of, and those things that we do desire to know of. One of those things is more and more of thy presence, dear Lord, and may we be favored with more of the knowledge of thy wondrous person, and those two glorious natures in one person, more of all that thou hast done. You see, these things make fat the bones, as it were. It was of course a common expression where a person is healthy their bones were fat. So, dear friends, spiritually, when that gospel ministry has laid the gospel table, what a wonderful thing it is if our little hand of faith reaches forth for a royal dainty, where love will touch our poor senseless heart very often. Well, he says, and the Lord shall make fat thy bones. Then he comes to this point, which I shall be very brief, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. Now, I believe, my dear friends, this sets more particularly, I know it singles out, and thou shalt be like a water garden. I know it singles out one person, but I believe also it includes the church of God shall be like a watered garden. Now, of course, we know the great benefits of a watered garden, and that there is, of course, beauty. And is there not a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ? He is so beautiful to behold, and to a poor sinner such as you and I, lost and undone and guilty, worthy, my dear friends, of that awful punishment. But the beauty of the Lord shines forth from time to time as we read the scriptures, as he makes himself known in such a suitable way to our case and our condition. They shall be like a water garden. Well, we know, of course, the stature of plants varies in a water garden. And there are some that are small, and there are some that are higher. But they all need, my dear friends, the watering of the Holy Spirit and the reviving of that Spirit and to keep them alive. That which follows those promises, and we read, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. You may feel you're as dry as a bone, as that valley of dry bones. But look, dear friends, and thou shalt be. He doesn't say you are at this very moment, but thou shalt be, my dear friends, as a watered garden. What wonderful expectations when faith is in lively exercise is before God's dear children. Although we are so cast down, so discouraged from time to time, and yet, dear friends, how we do desire that we may not be like our first parents. Don't think I'm throwing stones at them, but they would rather have listened to that awful old serpent, the devil, than listen to the words of God. And we very often in that same place. And I do pray that the dear Lord will grant this faith to you and I, and thou shalt be like a water garden. Just think of one more thing in this water garden: redeeming grace. What a wonderful water these plants are watered, and God's dear children are watered by redeeming love and grace, where the dear Lord in his love hath redeemed our souls from sin, death and hell. And then I'm sorry, I have to be very brief, and not only be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Well, you know, when the Lord in that last day of the feast, how he cried, "Whosoever thirsteth, let him come unto me, and it shall be as a well of water springing up unto eternal life." Oh, may these things, dear Lord, dear friends, may they be a constant companion. What the Lord has said, and the wonderful effects and blessings and that follow, that which the Lord hath made known, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail, a springing up unto eternal life. But there I shall have to leave those brief remarks. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Close this evening by singing hymn number 1048. The tune is Cabal 357. Hymn number 1048. We've no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Hymn number 1048.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us now and forever and ever. Amen.